Well, hello once again to this program, Transforming Grace. We're pleased to have you with us from week to week, and it's a joy to bring you these Bible studies in the Gospel of John. My name is Roger Pascoe. I'm speaking to you from Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. And as we study God's Word again today together, we're trusting God to bless you as you listen in and as you study along. And as we find out more of what God has to teach us from this wonderful book, we're studying the seven signs or miracles that Jesus performed as recorded in John's Gospel. And the last few messages have been in the ninth chapter, dealing with the healing of the blind man. And we've worked our way through this beautiful chapter, seeing that Jesus is the sent one from God. We noticed, first of all, at the beginning of the chapter, the man's pitiful condition, and we moved on from that to Jesus' powerful commission. Jesus' commission was to do God's work in the world, and Jesus' commission was to be God's light in the world. Then we moved on to the various reactions to Jesus in verses 8 through 34. The curiosity of this man's acquaintances, the dispute among the authorities, the fear of the man's family, the man's parents, and then the hostility of the religious leaders. And then we came last time to this section, verses 35 to 41, which show us the reasons for Jesus coming into the world. And we're just going to take it up there again today and finish off this section of John's Gospel, chapter 9. And before we do so, let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for its power in our lives. We thank you for its instruction. We thank you for how it changes us. And we pray that today your Holy Spirit would open up our minds and our hearts, that we would understand the word and that we would respond in obedience to it. As you teach us more of your ways and your purposes for us, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we noticed last time in verses 35 to 38 that Jesus came into the world to save. Jesus came into the world to save. We're noticing in this section, verses 35 to 41, two reasons that Jesus came into the world. The first one is he came to save. He came to save those who believe. He said to the blind man in verse 35, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And Jesus came to save those who see him, not only those who believe in him, but those who see him. He said in verse 37, when the blind man asked and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus replied, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." So Jesus is explicitly stating here that he is the Son of God, the very one who had given this blind man back his sight and who was at that moment speaking with him. And wonderfully, the blind man said to him, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. So Jesus came into the world to save those who believe in him and to save those who see him. You see, there are many people in the world who have read the Bible, have listened to sermons, have gone to church. In that sense, they have seen Jesus, perhaps. They've seen him in the Word. They've seen him in the lives of other people and of other Christians, but they have never believed in him. So it's necessary to not only see him, to recognize him for who he is, but to put your faith and trust in him. So first of all, then, Jesus came to save, and secondly, Jesus came into the world to separate. And this is where we were last time when we finished our last message. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world." Now, it was not the judgment of condemnation he is speaking about, for the judgment of condemnation is yet to take place in a future day. But the judgment that took place when he came into the world was a judgment of separation. In other words, to reveal who was for him and who was against him. So Jesus is saying that his presence, his activity in the world, constituted a judgment in the sense that he separates people according to their spiritual convictions about him, according to their decision about him. Some received him, some rejected him. His coming into the world, you see, brings both salvation and separation. His coming into the world separates people into either believers, Christians, or unbelievers, non-Christians, either to those who receive him or those who reject him. The purpose of Christ's first coming into the world was to save, and the purpose of Christ's second coming into the world will be to condemn in a future day. The same light that dispels the darkness, you see, also casts a shadow. The light of God shines in the darkness, and those who welcome it come to the light, John 3:21 says. But those who refuse God's light turn into even deeper darkness. And you probably experience that with people around you. Those who have been exposed to the light of the gospel, those who have been exposed to the truth of God's word, and who refuse it, who reject it and turn away from it, often go into even deeper darkness than they experienced before. So Jesus' separation of people has two opposite effects. The first is that Jesus' coming into the world affects spiritual sight in believers. And the second is that Jesus' coming affects spiritual blindness in unbelievers. So let's look at the first one. The first effect of Jesus' coming is the spiritual sight that takes place in believers. It says in verse 39, so that those who do not see may see. They are like the blind man who recognized his need, who fully experienced his own blindness. He certainly wasn't going to deny that he was blind. He knew the darkness of his physical blindness, and he understood his spiritual poverty. So these people, people who eventually turn to Christ, are those who recognize that they are spiritually blind, that they're in spiritual darkness. They're like the blind man, who readily accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of God. When they saw him, they believed in him. They're like the blind man who, in humble contrition, bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ in genuine worship. So you see, one of Jesus coming into the effect of Jesus coming into the world in some people is to give them spiritual sight so that they become believers, so that those who do not see may see. This is the positive aspect of Jesus coming and Jesus' separation of people. To those who admit their blindness, Jesus gives sight. He came into the world so that those who lack the light of salvation, those who are without true knowledge of God, those who are without righteousness, those who are unholy, and yet who repent of their condition, and who are prepared by God's grace to receive sight. Jesus came into the world so that those people who lack the light of salvation may come into the full possession of spiritual life and receive spiritual sight. That is, they see Jesus for who he is. They recognize him as the Son of God, as the one sent from God, the one who came from heaven to earth to show us the way to God. And when anyone sees Jesus for who he is, recognizes him as Lord and as Savior, as God, the only and appropriate response is not only to believe in him, but to worship him. That's what this blind man did. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Well, what part does worship have in your life? Are you a regular worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only when you go to church, but in your daily lives. Do you set aside a time each day to worship him through the reading of his word and your response to that word through prayer and through communion with him throughout the day? Are you a continuous, committed, devoted worshiper of Jesus Christ. You know, there are many people who call themselves Christians, but they don't have a devotional life. In other words, they don't have that aspect of their life which is in constant communion with God, and they are not devoted worshipers of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can say all you like that you're a Christian, but if you're not a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, then are you really? That's a vital component in the life of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to worship Him collectively with God's people as we come together each week and perhaps even several times through the week to worship Him in song, to worship Him in prayer, to worship Him in the reading of the Word, to worship Him in the preaching of the Word. But more than that, to worship Him in your personal life. And I would encourage you today that if you don't have a regular practice in your life of reading God's Word and of prayer and of allowing God to speak to you and you speaking to Him, then you need to develop that and begin that today. Well, the positive aspect of Jesus coming was to give sight to those who were formerly blind, so that when they see Him for who He is, they believe in Him and worship Him. Now, the second and opposite effect is that Jesus' coming effects spiritual blindness in unbelievers. Look what it says again in verse 39, so that those who see may become blind. That's a strange expression, isn't it? He's just said, so that those who do not see may see, but then he says, so that those who see may become blind. You see, there are these two opposite effects of Jesus coming into the world. The one is that those who could not see before, had no spiritual sight, did not know Him, didn't recognize Him, they receive spiritual sight, they recognize Him for who He is, and they believe in Him and worship Him. The opposite effect of that is that Jesus coming into the world makes those who claim that they could see before to become blind. These are like the Pharisees, who thought that they could see perfectly well already. They didn't need Jesus. They had all of the knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. They had all of the rituals of their synagogues and their worship services. They had all of the legalistic requirements they needed to do in their life and that they forced other people to do. They didn't see any need for Jesus Christ. So people who claimed that they could see became blind when Jesus came into the world. They're like the Pharisees, who thought they could see perfectly well already, who claimed to know God and claimed the heritage of being God's people. They claimed to be Moses' disciples, as we saw earlier in this chapter, and to know the Old Testament scriptures. They thought they had no need of spiritual enlightenment. And who was this Jesus anyway, who thought that He could come and show them the way to God? They turned their backs on Jesus and moved into even deeper darkness. They hated and opposed Him as the Son of God, despite all of the evidence, despite all of the miracles that Jesus did, despite all of Jesus' teachings, despite all of Jesus' knowledge, even about what they were thinking at times. They still didn't believe in Him. They opposed Him as the Son of God, despite the evidence. They preferred their ignorance to true knowledge. And they are condemned by Him to their blindness and the ultimate judgment of God, so that those who see may become blind. Those who claimed that they had spiritual sight actually were revealed to be those who were spiritually blind. They are consigned to stay in their darkness of unbelief and rejection of Jesus Christ. This is the punishment, if you will, aspect of Jesus coming into the world, that those who do not admit their blindness, Jesus consigns to darkness. Those who claim to see, but who in actual fact reject the light of God, are completely separated from the light. In other words, Jesus coming into the world separates people and reveals who they truly are. Those who see Him, acknowledge Him, receive Him, believe in Him, and worship Him on the one hand, and those who claimed religious preference, who claimed to know God, who claimed to have knowledge of the scriptures and so forth, but who really had no spiritual life in them whatsoever. They are revealed for who they are, and they are consigned to darkness. You see, some people claim spiritual sight, but are actually spiritually blind. There are many blind people who go around making other people think that they are biblically aware, that they are biblical scholars, that they have biblical knowledge, that they have a certain religious life to them. But at the same time, they tear the Bible apart. They speculate about what the Bible says and interpret it in ways that are contrary to what the biblical author intended. Old Testament narratives, which Jesus referred to, and whose reality, whose historical reality he confirmed, these people say they're just old wives' fables. Some of them teach that much of the narratives or stories of the Old Testament are just myths, they're legends, they're tales. They would have us believe that the story of Jonah, for example, is merely a parable, but there was no historical truth to it at all. They teach that the serpent on the pole in the book of Numbers is only a legend. Such is the blindness of people who claim to be able to see spiritually, but have no spiritual sight whatsoever. These are the people about whom Jesus is speaking here. Those who see become blind. If you think you have spiritual truth without the God of truth, you're in trouble. You'll be left to stumble in your blindness, and you'll find yourselves eventually falling into a pit, unable to be helped. You cannot claim to have spiritual truth, you cannot claim to have spiritual sight, unless you know the God who imparts that spiritual truth and that spiritual sight. And there are so many people today who are claiming to be spiritual gurus, spiritual teachers, but yet have no relationship with God whatsoever. The truth, you see, is only known in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Bible says in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." To claim to see is the claim to know the truth. But to claim to know the truth without knowing Christ is, in fact, to be blind. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, Jesus said in John 8, verse 24. If you do not see me for who I am and acknowledge the truth about me, you will remain in your spiritual darkness and perish. That's what Jesus meant in that verse in John 8 and verse 24. It is these people who now say, "We are not blind too, are we?" in verse 40 of our chapter. They resented what they considered to be an uncomplimentary reference to them. "You aren't including us in your statement, are you? You're not including us in the same category as the rest of the masses of the people who don't know the law, are you? Are we, the devout disciples of Moses, in a class with the common people who know nothing? They're the ones who are blind, not us." And Jesus replies in verse 41, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." In other words, if they lived in darkness and could find no way out into the light of God, then their situation would certainly have been sad, but no blame would have attached to them, for how can a blind person be blamed for not being able to see? "But now you say, 'We see,'" Jesus says. Blame, you see, attaches to those who claim to be able to see while living in darkness, like these Pharisees who had overheard what Jesus said to the blind man. To be self-deceived and shut one's eyes to the light is a desperate state to be in. The light is there, but if people refuse to avail themselves of it and deliberately reject it, how can they be enlightened? Therefore, Jesus says in verse 41, "Your sin remains." He's saying, yes, if you really want to know, you are blind also. I'm talking about you. Because you have no consciousness of your true spiritual condition. You have no consciousness of the greatness of your sin and misery. You're bound by your sin. It's not taken away as this blind man's sin is. You've rejected God's salvation and you have no excuse. They cannot plead ignorance. They've seen God act in Jesus, and in rejecting Jesus, they have rejected God. In rejecting the light of the gospel, their sin remains. They are consigned to remain in their spiritual darkness and ignorance. So then, this supernatural deed, this miracle, this healing of this blind man, separates two spiritual conditions. Jesus here identifies two groups of people. There is the work of God in the soul of one who acknowledges his need, and there is the condemnation of God on those who claim to have no need. To those who respond by coming to the light of Jesus, casting themselves on God's mercy, his light shines savingly into their life and renews them, giving them eternal life. But to those who refuse to come to the light and stubbornly cling to the light that they claim to have, they fall under God's judgment. Now, whose spiritual condition do you resemble? Which spiritual condition do you fall into? Are you like the man who had lived in darkness, but who met the light of the world? That is, are you like those who admit that they're blind and need the light of God in their life? Or are you like the Pharisees, those who steadfastly cling to the darkness of their spiritual beliefs and religion, and who are declared by Jesus to be blind? Jesus has come to reveal God to us through his mighty deeds, his teachings, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He did so in the life of this man. He revealed the works of God in him, and in so doing, he displayed God's power, God's love, and God's grace. He is the one sent from God so that we might know God. Through him, the light of God has shone in the darkness of our world. How have you responded to him? Do you respond like the Pharisees who rejected him? The light of God shone in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him, the Bible says. That's what it means to be like the Pharisees, to not receive the light of God, to not comprehend who Jesus is, to not receive him for who he is. So you can either be like the Pharisees, or you can be like this poor blind beggar who received him into his heart and life. For the Bible says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. Well, we're trusting God that those who are listening to this broadcast from week to week will be those who have received him, seen Jesus for who he is, and worship him. Those who believe in him and trust him as the Son of God, their Savior. Well, thank you for being with us. It's a delight to study God's Word with you from week to week, and we're looking forward to being with you again on this broadcast the next time.